You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Tuesday, February 11th. It was sunny in Los Angeles.
Buddy just sent me that. That's like the typical open a dragnet.
Oh, all right. And since we have the investigator on here.
Exactly. Did you watch any cop shows when you were younger?
Oh, yeah.
All right. We got
Chips.
Oh, yeah. Chips. Randy Oaks. Dan Van Lannen, a.k.a. Choppa, lead investigator for Hobart, and was just awarded with the Officer of the Year at the Hobart Police Station. And congratulations, Choppa. You're following in great footsteps. Jim and I were both at your dad's funeral on Saturday. Really, really nice, classy. I mean,
as it should be.
As it should be. I got to be honest with you. For a second.
There's a lot of people there.
But did you see the honor guard guy guarding there? Yeah, the tall one? I thought at first was like a mannequin thing. I'm not even kidding.
So somebody asked my mom where she got the mannequin.
No kidding. It was like, I thought it was, you know, yeah. They'd have some kind of a statue of an officer.
Yeah.
I thought it was one of them until the other guy went over and took his place. Whoever that guy is, wow. Yeah.
They're amazing.
That was amazing. I didn't even see him blink.
No.
Wow. Yeah. Those guys are not allowed to leave their post no matter what, are they?
Right. Until you're relieved.
No. But here's I was at a funeral for a police officer a couple of years ago. And it was at St. John's Church down here. Really great friends of ours, okay? And this, like, homeless person walked in and started causing all kinds of problems. And, like, went and laid on the altar and all. And it was a funeral for a police officer. And those two cops right there guarding the casket, they didn't move. Mm-hmm. And I actually went up and it's like, should I do something to help get this guy out of here? You know what I mean? Just kind help grab, because a bunch of guys then grabbed him and pulled him out. I mean, he went up on the altar, was laying around and knocked over some flowers and everything. And those guys didn't move. So that was, but they say, no, when you're guarding that's your post.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I just think.
Well, there were a bunch of other cops in there. Okay, 50 other cops. But I mean,
I was just saying for emergencies though, right?
Yeah, but I give them all the credit in the world for that. Discipline.
Speaking of something.
I would have kicked the guy in the face once he was done.
Right.
I got to be honest with you. If that was my dad. You know what I mean?
Something like that. This morning, walking to work, I did. Not from my house, just from where I park. Because I wouldn't park in the city because you get a ticket. So I have this other place I park. But anyway.
Not from Sharon. Sharon's nice.
Huh?
Not from Sharon. Sharon is nice. We love Sharon.
There was a lot of cops and parking utility here today because there was a guys like using the stairway as a living quarter.
Oh, when I did my walk the other day, the old bosses right downtown here, there was a lady who was sound asleep. She looked real cozy, all just bundled up right there, like not a care in the world.
That's what happened here. And the guys said, this is enough, you know, because people, they got to park their car and they got to walk down the steps. And it's not dangerous, but it's a little bit weird, right? To have somebody, so they're like,
I got to tell you something, though, too. This person, I mean, again, you're going to make characterizations here. This didn't look like what you'd think would be your typical homeless street sleeping person. Like, was fairly normal, attractive-looking woman in her, 40s.
Yeah.
I mean, they do come in all shapes and sizes, don't they? It's not one size fits all. I mean, you deal with it every day. But it's just like, you know, it's shy. You'd be shy. If you walk around downtown Green Bay early on a Sunday morning, you're going to be surprised what you find. But anyway, hi, Chuck. I don't know if they have that problem in Hobart. The mosquitoes were driving crazy on Hobart. Got a text here from Terry Nashwabana. My condolences to you and your family, Chopper, on the loss of your father. Oh, go ahead and give his background.
Yeah, what a career. Well,
yeah. He went to Westmere High School, and then he was in a monastery for a little while.
Really?
Yeah.
Where?
Just a couple of years. Oh, I don't even remember.
Like to be a monk? is that what a monastery is, though?
Well,
because a seminary is priests, right?
Yeah. Was he at St. Nazian? Did he go down there?
Maybe.
Yeah.
And then went into the Navy. Was in the Navy for four years.
Saw those pictures.
And then was at the Sheriff's Department for 26 years. And then after he retired from the sheriff's department, he worked as a private investigator process server for 21 years.
Wow.
And then was a municipal judge for 15 years.
Process serving can be a dangerous job.
Yeah.
My brother did that when he was the sheriff's department.
Yeah, no one's happy to see
him. No, He said people have gone out back windows and like weird stuff.
Yeah.
Or some guy says he's not him and he's visiting.
All the time.
All those kind of excuses.
Is that still the process? Today, is it
can
still?
Can you just like text them?
Yeah, is there something else you can do?
Email
is it still, them? You still got to hand it to them and.
Yep. It's wow. Got to be.
Right.
Yep.
Wow.
Wow. Because I think people.
Well, you're at their worst. I mean, one of the worst moments of their life when you're handed something like that.
Wow.
I found that sheriff's department guys and that never deliver really good news to a house. Is that the case, Chopper? Although I will say this, I get a guy, I will say this. Well, you know what I mean? I will say this, though. I remember one time when I lived in Alloy, and sheriff's car was outside of my house for quite some time, and I was out and talking with it. We were having a good time. And it was our good friend. I'm going to say this because I don't think he can get in trouble anymore. Bill Morgan, great friend, stopped over. He was like cleaning out his grandpa's house or something and found this World War I gun. And I want to know if I want it. It's like, oh my God, do I want it? It's phenomenal with the big bayonet and everything like that. But it's like my neighbors, you could see them just kind of like looking out.
What
like,
the sheriff's
ooh,
doing
what's
there?
The sheriff's yeah. And we're sitting there talking about the Brewers pitching staff or something, the whole, you know what I mean? Yeah. And he delivered that. But you know what? The thing about you guys, though, Chopper, is, and I do a lot of stuff, and actually your law enforcement banquet and everything is really, really, really cool. But I love sitting with some retired, and Jim did too. Jim and I both sat for a while with some retired Green Bay cops. Talked about the way it was back in the old days on Broadway.
The stories my dad told me. He worked from 69 to 95 and way different.
In that era? Because some of those Broadway bars, they said, were just.
Oh, yeah.
And you know who I'm talking about with the guys. And they're like, well, we had a little bit more.
Authority.
Leniency.
It was a good thing. We had a good mayor come in named Jim and change that
cleaned
all up.
Cleaned up that right? part of the town.
Yeah, it's still got work to do. But
thing
it's
here.
Getting
Hi, Chopper. Out. RJ's funeral was such a lovely send off processing. Out to Anchors Away was perfect. Yeah. Such an incredible man, Mary.
Oh, thank you.
Her husband was a sheriff's deputy for a lot of years. Yep.
So was it your dad that got you into public safety or did you a teacher or what?
Did you do anything else or did you go right into it?
Right into it.
Wow.
I grew up watching him work for the Brown County Sheriff's Department and he would come home on lunch and I would quit run in the police car and play around with it, and he'd come out yelling at me, why are the sirens on? And,
oh, no! Really?
Yeah,
oh, that's
I just like to sit in there when he, when he was inside on break, and I just admired him and admired what he did, and I would go with him when he would work the extra events at the Brown County Arena, like Bucks games and GB basketball and wrestling. And
concerts, probably?
Little bit. I was young, but circus, ice capades.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
cool. I always got into it from him, and he taught me a lot and a lot of things, and I knew what I was getting into. You know, a lot of nights, weekends, and holidays, and it can be stressful, and I learned a lot.
So where'd you go to school? Where'd you go to school then? So you went to high school in Pulaski?
West De Pere.
Oh, you're West De Pere. You're a West De Pere guy.
Yep. And then Foxway Tech in Appleton.
Nice.
And actually, I have a nephew there right now. Sarah and Jeff Hacker's son, Caden, he goes to Foxway Tech. He was in the Navy as well. He followed Grandpa's footsteps.
Wow. Played football for De Pere, didn't he?
Yep.
Yeah. Did your dad have any reservations? Because, I mean, I'll be honest with you. Dom, my son, wanted to become a lawyer, but so many of his friends... Parents said, who are lawyers were like, Jim would probably not recommend one of his kids go to elect public office.
I don't have to ask. They just don't.
Because they see the bad side
exactly.
of things. So,
and you
but
saw
you
it.
Didn't. You saw it the other way.
Well, you saw it the bad side and you still chose
that's
that.
That's what
career.
I mean. Yeah.
He loved it. He loved the job. He always said, you know, it's pretty much you have a front row seat to the greatest show on earth. And he loved it.
That's phenomenal.
He never complained.
You know,
like you.
Have a
when we're having lunch at Happy Joe's, you never complain.
And would you recommend that career?
Absolutely,
even today, because today, it's a little bit you read about this stuff, you know, more Minnesota, but you know, this defund and lack of
the
respect.
Overall respect, yeah,
and
it's a great career and it's very rewarding. And we need good men and women to do it, and it's an excellent career.
You know, what we need more of that. We need more of younger generation parents. Because, I mean, if we saw a police officer, it was sir. I mean, it wasn't even questioned. Hey, right. Mr. Mino, you got a big game tonight in Little League? Yes, sir. That was all you had to say, sir. I mean, they commanded respect.
Yeah, that's changed.
I mean, they, but it's one of those things where it's like you grew up that way, where it's like if somebody's dad or whomever was a police officer, it's like, wow,
right?
That's cool. So that's what it was for you growing up, I'm sure.
It was. I don't see that as much anymore, but I don't think people disrespect. I think this, the way they talk's a little, you know, instead of saying, true. Hey, investigator, or hey, chief, you know, they call my name, which I don't think they're being disrespectful. It's just kind of worldly.
The way society has moved.
Maybe. Yeah.
So we have I work at Teach TC, and there's quite a few students. I don't know if it's enough. I don't know what the pipeline looks like for you guys. We worry about, I know we have some openings here in Green Bay, and I don't know how Hobart's doing, but I think it's an admirable profession. And you do get paid, and you do get some benefits, and you don't have to do it forever. I mean, you guys can be out of there when you're 52, 53, if you play your cards right.
Let me just say one thing in regards to the pay. They have to now, because one of my great friends who puts on the banquet, Chris, used to be a police officer. And when he applied for his first job, there was something like 200 applications. And now you guys have to recruit to fill spots, right?
That's changed, yeah. It's getting better, though. We're starting to get a little more applications. Good. And the applications we're getting are pretty good.
Okay.
I just know that there was a time not that long ago where it was really pretty dry. And yeah, we would go to TC and find the good students and to your place at Fox Valley and say, look, you know, we'll help you out. But you come to us when you're done because you have to have good cops to run a good city. I mean,
there's a lot of recruiting going on that wasn't going on when I got hired.
That's right what I mean. Now, you have to. Recruiting. So, I mean, you bet the pay had to go up in order to get the people.
It did.
Yeah.
Yep.
So let me ask you this. What would you say if you were evaluating, you go to a Fox City Tech or NWTC or whatever, or Fox City Tech, and you met with a class, in your mind, you're kind of, you're doing a little bird dogging there. What would be a quality that would, A, make you say, I'm going to keep my eye on this person, or B,
honesty is the biggest thing.
Okay.
Honesty. In law enforcement, you have to be honest. Without that, it's just not going to work.
Do you find that people nowadays have a little bit of a different attitude going into that versus even in your day?
I think people know in law enforcement, you have to be honest, because if you're not honest in the police reports or on the stand or anywhere, you're out.
That credibility factor can destroy a department almost, can't it? Taint it.
You can't.
One bad cop.
Right.
Yeah.
Everybody watches TV, some people too much, but.
Hang on, hold that thought. And then we also have another thought we're going to hit with Patty. Ask if there's a way residents can volunteer monitoring the fast drivers that go down our streets on a regular basis. How can we help? Is there a volunteer neighborhood traffic watch at all? Patty, we'll hit that when we come back.
I'm going to swear in.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be.
Hey, welcome back.
Side.
Mino and the Mayor and our boy Dan Van Lannen, a.k.a. Chopper from the Hobart Police Department here. This segment brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Get that look you want for your home with customizable windows and doors from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. The durability of materials gets tested. They open and close doors, latches, and shades tens of thousands of times to ensure they last for years to come. Pella offers custom colors and innovative features like shades between the glass. Right now, zero interest up to 36 months. Certain restrictions apply. Ends October 31st. Get started today at PellaWI.com. Well, Dan, we had two questions for you heading into the break. I don't remember them both, but go ahead.
The first one was about speeding.
Yes. Oh, well, that was Patty. Yep, go ahead.
Best advice for that, Patty, is Brown County has a non-emergency number. Anywhere you are in Brown County, you call that, and then they will send out or...
But if they're going really fast, they're already gone.
Yeah.
But at least she can say, hey, it happens every morning between 7 and 7:30. Can someone sit there? But we don't have, like, a citizen program that sits there.
Okay.
Mayor, you're thinking...
I hope we're not at the point where it's like, that's just not that important. Because if you let those little things slide, they become bigger and bigger. I have called, and I'm glad they document, you can check the records, but we have homeless people that sleep across the street from me. Of course, I live in the hood, but it's not, you can't do that. It's against the law. And they'll come in the morning, 7 o'clock, and they'll do a welfare check and, you know, beep the horn, and then a guy puts his head up, and then they drive away. Well, he's not dead, and it's okay at 7 in the morning to be in the park. It's like, and then other times we've called, and you know, I might wait an hour and a half, then I got to leave, and they never show up. So are we that busy with major crimes that we can't take care of the little stuff? And then I think what Patty's saying, can the citizens get more involved? With authority, not just calling. I mean, we do that all the time. Nothing happens.
Authority can be tough the way the laws are. But I'll tell you this. When people call and say there's a speeding issue at a certain street and certain time, it does get attention, for sure. It's all logged, and then we keep track of when we were there. So if the person ever comes back and say, hey, I said there's a speeding problem, no one ever went there, well, yeah, we did.
Here's okay.
All right. That's cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Do you know, we watch TV, but do you guys get bribed? Like, I mean, you don't have to tell us, but
Todd,
what I tried doing to Dan during our break,
right. So John's got a pinched nerve. Chopper's in charge of the what's it called?
Prescription take back program. Right. That John will not.
So
be
he's collecting
with.
Them. And John's like, can you slide me a couple OxyContin, please?
I'm in pain like you can't believe.
And what did I say?
Yeah,
you said, well, I'll do it. 20
bucks.
Miss a couple.
20 bucks each.
I said absolutely not.
You did. Chopper, I've got it on tape. I know you heard right, say you that.
But does that happen? And if it does, do you just say, look, knock it off? Or do you say, look,
knock it off? A lot of times it's probably at 2 a.m. when people have had a lot to drink and I don't even remember what they're bribing. But
yeah.
Wow.
Are you still on the roads at all, patrol-wise?
I am not anymore.
Okay. Let me ask. I know you've, and not to get into details, but I give you a... I mean, like my son, you know, works for a funeral home, for Ryan Funeral Home. And, you know, he goes out and collects bodies at whatever time of night it possibly is. And obviously a lot of those are accidents and everything. Mm. Do you get used to that, going to those accidents like you've had to do?
Yeah, you get used to it.
Okay.
Yep. It's part of the job. And you have to be professional and you have to be there and you have to treat everyone. And, you know, it's a big deal for everyone and it has to be handled appropriately.
Not everybody could do that. No, I couldn't do it. I guarantee you I couldn't do it. I guarantee you.
It's got to be done the right way.
Yeah. I give you guys so much credit for that. Even like, you know, so I see some of these, like I was at a football game last week in Neenah, and this officer working the game, a female, and she's probably 5'4", you know, 100 pounds or whatever. And, you know, with all those, I just said, hey, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for what you do for our community, that you got the courage to step out here and do this. And she's, oh, that's, I appreciate that. Because, you know, you think of if there's a, you want this guy that's 6'2", 225, who, you know, he's a meathead as far as in the gym and everything. You want him backing you up. But these women who are just really normal size have the courage to do these things that they have to do.
A lot of them are doing boot camp in the morning, too, are in really good shape.
They're pretty well. Yeah, they're in really, really good
per
shape.
Per pound, they're pretty impressive.
I just remember the this whole mayor's conference. They wanted to lower the standards for women. And the mayor's like, no, I don't think so. So these people are tough as
any guy.
They don't
want it. The women don't want it.
No, they're pretty tough, which is great. Hey, let's talk about, you know, besides the public safety.
By the way, today is Women in Military Service Day. It's close enough. I want to throw in Women in Law Enforcement Day. Throw it in with it because that's the same type of person. Like,
yeah. I think they got their own day, but yeah, we'll double it.
I don't think they do. They
do. They do.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Hey, well, you know what? Now they got 1.5. I can declare that.
Public safety. But let's talk about just community engagement. I mean, you guys are asked to be at every church picnic and
It's kids. Important. You need to get to know the community and so everyone can work together. And it's easier. It's easier when something happens when you know the community and you know the members. And the officers do a good job. You know, they know, like the Hobart Lawrence, they know in Lawrence, like, hey, I know this guy lives here, and I'm pretty sure he's out of town. Why are the lights on? And they have a good job of checking the computer and getting a hold of them. And without the community, it's hard to do this job. You need as much help as you can get.
Right. I mean, you're part of the community. I mean, it's not like you're this other entity that whatever. I mean, that's part of it. But I think you guys ingratiate yourselves in a lot of good ways now.
100%.
To create that interaction.
And you got to work on it because I think TV, maybe the cops aren't as...
Not everyone trusts police. So right. You have to work at it.
And that's why to get into the schools with the SROs or to get into... we got horses, and what a way to draw kids to the police officers and to come up and look at the horse. And
in New York City,
yeah,
nobody messes with those cops on horses. And they're all over. They're right downtown on Fifth Avenue. I've been
there. How about New Orleans? Those crowds?
Yeah.
They march to the side. They can push a crowd.
But I didn't know they were regular in New York City. I didn't know they were regular downtown.
Huge patrol.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Got a text here. If I sit in a corner disguised with a hairdryer, disguising a speed gun as speeders go by, could I be arrested? Patty. Patty's awesome.
Patty's had her coffee.
I think somebody's speeding down Patty's street is what I think
so, too.
Patty, we need to get there and get an officer out there to check on this for you.
Well, Dan.
Patty, stay in the house.
Great having you here. All the respect in the world for your father that dedicated his entire life to serving our community in a variety of capacities. All the respect in the world for you. And I think it's awesome you're carrying on that legacy.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I do. And to encourage kids to take a look at that and even maybe a second career. I was a teacher. I'd like to be a police officer.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. There's been plenty of officers that got hired in their 30s and 40s, no doubt.
And if you ever hook up with that LPGA professional golfer that you had the hots for when you were supposed to be doing security a few years back, you know, I hope your kid comes law enforcement too. Remember her?
Bring that along with you.
I don't.
No, I have no idea what you're talking about. I was working. I was doing security. Oh, I paid no attention to the LPGA
So much for
players.
That Oxycontin.
Thanks, Chopper.
Take care, guys.
Back after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here. Do we have Kristen?
Yes, we do. There she is. Hang on one second.
The whole. See, I could do that from like Menominee. Don't you think?
I don't think you'd look that good from Menominee.
Because you can get cameras now that do that.
Yeah, right. Morning, Kristen.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am good. Thank you.
Where are you this morning?
I am in Fort Myers Beach, Florida.
Oh, how is it?
So I was excited to come on and talk to you guys about it because it's doing better than what people think. However, there's still so much damage down here. We came down to help one of my girlfriends. She's got a condo down here, and there was definitely at least a foot of water in her place, if not a little bit more. And so we were cleaning that up and just, you know, trying to support local while we're down here and putting it all together. So it's been an interesting, you know, couple days, but I was excited to come on and chat with you guys about that.
You know, one of the things with that, I actually saw it like on the national news, some of the people were doing a little preventative, whatever. They were taking out the bottom section of drywall before the storm even hit because they knew that was going to get wet. And you know how drywall works. It's like a sponge. Once it gets in one spot, it just wicks its way through the whole thing. So people were about 4 feet up, were taking out their drywall because they just assumed they have a foot of water in their basements.
Absolutely. And that's what a lot of it was. So you could even see yesterday when we were cleaning, there was, you know, that's how you could tell about how much water surged into their condo because you could see it in the cabinets, right? And so they have to go in and clean, and it's actually a really sad, sad situation because it just came in after, like, they just got done rebuilding after Ian. So now for them to have to do it again is really tough. It is.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Wow.
Don't you wonder the way we shovel snow.
Right. Yeah. Don't you wonder, are you hearing anything like, okay, I'm moving. I'm going back. Yeah. I'm going to
really,
Wisconsin.
Truthfully.
I'm going to Nashville.
I give up.
I give up. I mean,
nope. These Floridians are hardcore, and they will get through it. And they are, this is, you know, it's, I guess it's not a lot different in a way from us with super heavy snowfalls.
Right. We're not
moving. The super heavy snowfalls that do so much damage to our areas. we don't move from that either. And so it's, this is their life. This is their way of life. They're proud to be here. And the community is really working together to clean up and make it better and bigger than what it was. So it's pretty neat to see.
That's awesome.
I love seeing those stories and hearing those stories, reading those stories. Oh, man. Just that cooperation, the people that, the resiliency, but the people that come out and, you know, they were fortunate and or they have a little bit more, and they go and help their neighbors and or they go to a community. We got a friend from Green Bay who's down there helping out with the Red Cross, but there's just a lot of neighbors helping neighbors down there.
And if I was the mayor of Green Bay or any town, if we had storm, I told you what I would do.
Yep.
I would have a truck with a trailer on the back and my chainsaw, and I'd go one of those trees down. I'd say, do you want that cut up for you? I would cut up the trees for him, and I go, do you have a this is hardwood. Do you have a fireplace, wood fireplace? Like, oh, yeah, we do. He said, you want me to split it for you? I would have the splitter there, and I would split it for him, and I'd stack it for him. Mm-hmm. And I go, okay, I'm moving on. By the way, please vote for me. Yeah. Oh, we will.
Yeah.
That's what I would do, just so you know.
Yeah, please vote for me.
Yeah, you're hearing that from a guy who should be in traction because he slept wrong. So you'd have to probably work out a little bit before.
I could hire somebody to do the heavy lifting.
I can do that.
Hey, you know what I was thinking about,
Kristen? That's what we call DPW.
I wanted to bring this up to you. So, and we're talking with Ben and Deanna all the time about interest rates, almost to a point where it's like maybe we're... But here's what I was thinking yesterday. When I drove past that gas station, that was $2.75, okay? It's like, wow, that's almost getting down to like normal. I almost look, correct me if I'm wrong, I almost look at interest rates like the price of gas. It's like they're never going to be $1.25 a gallon again. That was a wonderful time. That was a wonderful thing. But those days are gone. We just got to get used to, because that was an aberration more than a legitimate, long enduring type thing. I think we got to get used to them between 5, 7, or 8. Don't you, Kristen, in a certain way?
Yes. Yeah. And that's a lot of what's going on right now, to be fair. And when I was on the show the last time, we talked about how rates didn't really, especially mortgage rates, didn't really fall as much as we thought because it was already baked into the cake, if you will, right? From like 6 to 8 weeks before the Federal Reserve dropped interest rates. And so now what's happening is rates are actually up. They didn't really come down. They actually went up because right now really focused on the jobs numbers and the job reports keep changing, right? And they keep going up and up. So it's pulling back what the Federal Reserve is saying as far as the economy is concerned. And so they're too hyper-focused on the jobs report. So people think, when you talk to them, that they should be 4 or 5% because they heard rates came down. But at the end of the day, they're probably in the low to mid sixes, depending. WEDA, which is your state grant program, is still at like 5.75, 5.875. But they're not as low as people think. And nor do you want them to drop that fast, that soon. So right now, for example, there's about 1.5 million homes that come on the market every week for nationally speaking. But if rates were to drop 1% more or even 0.5%, 5 million people are going to flood the market coming back in because now they're back to a point where they can afford to buy. So if you only have 1.5 million homes coming on the market and you have 5 million people that would come back to be purchasers.
Seller's market again.
It's a seller's market again. You don't want to drive that too fast. Yeah. So slow and steady on the interest rates really wins the race here.
What do you say to somebody? I mentioned yesterday to Deanna and Ben, and a friend of mine's got a son who's got a house, 1,400 square feet, locked in at 3%.
Yeah.
Like, but now they got kids.
He does have a lot of impetus to move because of that, right?
But he'd like to move.
I know, but I'm just saying it's like, do you give up the 3% to us 8% or 7%?
Or what?
Yes.
And that's got to be a question, especially I can see older people saying, you know what, we've been here, we're going to stay here. We'd like to go, but, you know, we're locked in. But I don't know, if you're 30 years old and you're raising a family and want a bigger yard and maybe a little different neighborhood, I mean, you can't, you know, what they say, but if you notice, despite your face. I mean, you got to really.
Yeah.
What do you tell people like that are locked in and do you say, oh, you got a great stay where you are? Are you kidding me? You will never see that again.
Yes. So people are actually, I'm doing quite a bit of it right now. And people are like, gosh, I really hate to give up that 3% rate, like you said, Jim. But they're like, this is what it is. This is life. And I have to move. And this is part of it. So it's not exactly that. Now that it's not 8% and it's down in the sixes, they're like, I can handle that.
Yeah.
I can get around that. So a lot of people are doing that. The other thing that we're doing a lot of is people are refinancing out of their 3% interest rate because they've got so much credit card debt, a ton of equity, that they're trying to cap or tap in, I should say, to that equity to help them recover. Now, they still will have 20% equity in their home because you can't cash out of your house without having at least 20% equity. Probably more than that because then you're cashing out of it to take equity. But what we're seeing is, and there's calculators online or my team is happy to help. What we're seeing is when we put in the actual all-encompassing interest rate, right? So we're at a 3% on your mortgage, and then but we're at 25 to 30% on two or three credit cards. The actual interest rate you're carrying, even if you refinance to a 6 or 7% interest rate, that debt ratio is actually going to about 5.5%. So they're getting out of the 30% debt and in refinancing to a higher interest rate because overall there's still about a 5%. Does that make sense?
Like, it does. They're locking in. They can still refinance and lock in, right? 20 years, 15 years?
Yes. Can lock in 15, 20, 30 years, but their overall household.
Yeah, I understand.
You know, it's funny though. I got to tell you,
saving them.
I can tell you one thing, Chris. It's like we built our house in 2006 and our interest rate was, I think, 6%. Okay. Psychologically, when you just said it's between seven, you know, psychologically, you could have 6.9999999 like, yeah. or 7.000000. But psychologically, boy, you want to see that six. Isn't that the truth?
You do. You do. I was just, I'm helping a client right now from the East Coast because he's buying in our market because he sees our market as being extremely valuable. And it was so funny because he texts me, investment rates are higher, right? When you buy a 2 to 4 unit home, they're higher than your primary interest rates. And he's like, he said exactly that. You know, he was like, I can handle 6.99%, but if you get me over 7, I'm out.
Yes. It's like, why they sell a car for $39,999 instead of $40,000?
Gas, yes. Everything. Yeah.
It's so funny because he literally texted me exactly what you just said. I could show it to you right now.
Wow.
It's 6.99, but don't you get me 7.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's great. Yep.
Yeah. So it's all mental, but it does matter.
And then people who play the waiting game for a lot of reasons, and the whole political side of things, and there's history on that, what happens and doesn't happen when you, either party gets elected and as elections come closer. Do you discount all that? Do you tell them, hang on? This whole wait and see.
It doesn't seem like that played as big a role as we thought, huh?
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I kind of want to hear from her. But I just, this wait and see, I think, ugh, I don't want you to, I mean, people got to start moving. Life is short.
Right. So you do hear a lot of, I'm going to wait till the election's over. I'm going to wait till the election's over to make a move. I think because, and this is not to get political, but when the last administration was in office, we saw such low rates. I think that they think if, you know, the Trump administration gets back in, we're going to see 2 or 3% again. And that's not necessarily the case because we have to do what's right for the economy, right? And what holds a strong economy. But at the same time, they're waiting to see because it's not even necessarily about the interest rates on mortgages. It's what they think may happen to them personally on a financial level with their income, with where it is right now, because so many people are hurting with inflation that they're just scraping to get by right now. And I think that that's the bigger concern is, can I afford this? Can I afford to stay renting? And, you know, they're really playing that waiting game to see. Now I'm going to go with you guys on the opposite side of that and say, right now you can get a lot of really nice homes. They've been on the market for, you know, like a week or two.
Yeah.
It's crazy to even say that.
Well, we've noticed, Jim and I talk about that, and we've driven around town a couple of times. Like, you know, that was for sale last week. Yeah, and having both been in the realty business when things were insane, it's like you would put out a sign and you would literally leave the accepted offer rider, the other part, you would leave it at that house because you know it's going to be a couple of days you're going to put in the accepted offer.
It was exactly. And you, but you also both remember the days where houses, if it sat on the market for 2 months before it got an accepted offer, that was really short because it was normal to be on the market for 120 days.
Yeah.
And so right now is a great time for buyers to buy because they can get into a lower interest rate, as well as maybe negotiate in some contingencies. You know, I'm seeing more contingencies, more inspection contingencies, or offers being accepted with home sale contingencies. Right. We didn't see that six, 8 months ago. Yeah. So it really is a great time for
even inspections were waived, all that. Yeah. You know, I know you're the interest expert, and that's how you help people, Kristen, with Point Mortgage. But, you know, in terms of civics, when people say they want to wait the election, I'm like, well, first of all, the president does not set the interest rates.
He doesn't set gas prices. People think this guy has so much control.
And sometimes they think you should be really more concerned about who's controlling the House, because that's where bills come from, right?
Exactly.
In terms of, so I don't know. I think what's going to happen is probably going to happen, but I just think people got to do what's best for them. And I think if it's time to buy a house, you find a house you love, and it's 2 points more than your interest that you want to spend, I mean, you'll find it. And like you said, if you're carrying that kind of credit card debt, which is crazy, 3 credit cards at 18-19%, but to roll that all into a locked-in 20-year, that might make some sense. It makes a lot of sense, actually.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense because people that are on fixed incomes, there's no way for them to get out of it.
Right.
Except that. And I think what happened to a lot of people was, you know, rates were at 10% on their interest on their credit card. So it was doable, manageable. And then overnight they shot up to 20 and then 30. And before they knew it, they were paying interest on interest. So it was tough.
Amazing. It's like a student loan.
Yeah.
Hey, Kristen Ambos, Point Mortgage Corporation. Yes. Thank you so very much. Love your information.
Yeah. Email.
Thank you for having me, guys.
What's your email?
The contact info for you.
It is 920-606-1156.
All right. Thank you, Kristen.
Email?
Thank you, guys. KAmbos@pointmtg.com.
Outstanding. Kristen Ambos, Point Mortgage Corporation. You're awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll be back.
Bye, guys.
Right after this. Hey, welcome back. Mind on the Mayor here. Good looking Tuesday morning, man. Sun's shining. Beautiful time to get out. I'll tell you what. I was in the UP the other day, Jim. You're missing it, man. The colors up there are just exploding right now.
Todd, you've got to put that picture that he's got on the water with the reflection
from
the Nagani.
Did you post it on your
socials? On my Facebook,
Oh, you did. All right.
I'll grab it.
I'm not on that, but wow.
Yeah.
I told him to turn it into a puzzle. You know, kind of cool, right, with the
Somebody
reflection.
Said that.
Yeah.
But it would be a hard puzzle.
It would be a tough one.
Yeah, but it's beautiful up there right now, man. It is gorgeous. Yeah. Chopper's rejoining us. Chopper's.
That's nice.
Here we were talking about him a little bit earlier. Dan Van Lannen talked about Kurt. Let's just talk about, we talked about it a little bit, but let's talk about young people and the potential career in law enforcement. There are so many different avenues they can go, really, with that whole umbrella of law enforcement, right?
Yeah, and it all depending what you're looking for, what kind of agency you're looking for and what you want to do.
Right. And that's the thing, too, though. It's like when you go to school, you know, and again, you grew up with it. And I did too, with my brother being a deputy all my life. You know one thing that's funny that you don't notice when you have a member of law enforcement person in the family? I had somebody over my house one time like, whoa. I'm like, what? Goes, there's a gun. It's like, yeah. Right. I mean, right there in the holster with the bullets. Yeah. You get used to your dad or your brother, whoever, just taking the belt off and kind of hanging in a certain place. It's like, that's where it is.
My dad always did a good job of keeping that locked up.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Of course, he had young kids.
Yeah, you got to keep that locked up.
With my
up.
Brother, we weren't. Yeah, you know, he was. Yeah. But they are, I'll tell you what, I will. You want to talk about guys that respect weaponry? Law enforcement people respect it more than anybody else because they've seen firsthand just innocent things that can happen if you don't know how to handle a firearm. Wouldn't you agree?
All the time, and we get those calls, the apartment buildings, someone's cleaning their gun or messing around with their gun and goes through the wall into the neighbors. Happens more than you would think.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh.
You know what I think is rewarding about your job? I mean, you got to sleep good knowing how you're protecting the communities, but you've really become people who educate people. You know, you're out giving talks. We talked about a little bit the DARE program, but there's so many other things. I was just wanted to reference that on Tuesday we had active shooter training at our place. I work, you know, at the new community, at the homeless shelter. And the guy made a good point. He said, you know, first of all, how long does it take average? You know, I don't want average, but for police to get there. I mean, 3 minutes.
Oh, really?
In the city, yep. Oh, yeah. Hobart, Lawrence would be a little tougher.
Okay, but he was talking to us, right? Yep. And then how...
Geographically, you're huge.
And then these active shooters, when is it over? 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
He said, look, you're the first responders, not us.
Right.
And then he went through what we should do. And, you know, I mean, this whole run, hide, you know, or, yeah. Yeah, run.
Fight or flight. Well, now,
run, hide, or run.
But now for the police officers, it's attack, right?
And it's great.
For us, yeah.
You
yeah.
guys, what do you have a nice word for it. Immobilize the suspect.
Stop the threat.
Yeah, stop the threat. Yep. So you...
I'm surprised they haven't sent dogs at some of those guys. Because I told you, I've talked about this a million times, when I did that demonstration for the Green Bay police where they sicked the dog on me, and it's like the scariest thing I've ever gone through.
Yeah, it's different with a gun, though.
Okay, because they take that out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want to put the dog
in. What if you sent like 8 of them at once, like a pack?
You guys.
Just train a pack of just mongrel dogs. Wouldn't that be awesome?
You guys are sensitive to those dogs. I mean, if these.
Right. They're dogs, partners. They are legitimate partners.
They're family.
Yeah,
they're,
we had a guy doing a dog one time. He's lucky.
Pyro.
Yeah.
Oh, Pyro, of course.
Yeah.
He got the award one time for. Yeah. Law enforcement.
Pyro made an amazing comeback.
I went and visited him because he was down in Appleton.
Yes, I remember that.
Because you go see these officers, if you guys, you know, go to the hospital, but it's like, it was,
yeah.
And I just couldn't believe the emotion from you guys, from, I mean, ladies and men, from the force, as well as the care down there was unbelievable. I mean, that was IVs.
Those are the most trained living things I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
The most well-trained living things I've ever seen are police dogs.
Don't have to pay them over.
Hey, I got a quick question for you. I was talking about this in the air. I got a box.
they don't complain.
Wow.
I love them. We had 7 of them. I was like, let's get more.
I got a box of 410-gauge shotgun shells in my car.
Oh, yeah.
That's like 50 years old. I found one. It's cleaning up. I don't want to use them because you never know if they're still stable. How can I get rid of a box of shotgun shells?
I'm worried about you.
You turn them into your local department.
Okay, I just bring them to the Green Bay Police Department?
Assuming.
You want to take him? No. What? Well, you're here. I just got cars right down. What? I thought if you had a 410 to go partridge hunting, maybe you could use them. No? All right.
First, I
was trying to help.
No ammo.
Wow.
What's next?
Oh, I was going to say, Chopper.
Oh, don't even ask that question. What's next?
What's next is he's going to trade you for that OxyContin.
Fine. Wow. Chopper, physically, what are the things nowadays when kids try to or want to become a law enforcement person?
Every agency is a little different, but typically there's a physical training assessment you have to go through, running, jumping, over a 6-foot wall, push-ups, sit-ups. Every department's a little different, but yep.
Okay.
It's called a physical agility test.
All right.
And then
but kids that age, they're all...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean...
They fly over the... over the wall.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, do that in 10 years, 20 years. What about their backgrounds? I mean, can a kid get caught smoking weed and still get on the force?
Yep. The biggest thing
Those have loosened up, haven't they?
Yep. And the biggest thing is you can't be a felon. Because if you're a felon, you can't carry a weapon. But, yep.
Okay, well, that's...
Jim, are you thinking about it
now?
No,
I just want to say...
You look very interested.
I don't have a felony. I just think that's... I think you might, you're done. You're really not done. I mean, you may be a little more.
If you made a mistake, since it's drunk driving or marijuana, it may be a little tougher.
Right, that's what I'm saying. But it's not impossible.
It's not impossible, and it all depends on the situation, when it was.
Sure.
And, you know, nothing's ever set in stone.
Right, yeah.
You know, there's a background check, and they look to see if you're a felon. They check your driving record. They meet with neighbors and find out your
character. Okay.
Jim, you're out then.
Yeah.
They meet with neighbors.
Not even a question. Just right there, struck. Wow.
Boy, it got quiet.
Dan Van Lannen, a.k.a. Chopper, Hobart Police Department.
Hobart Lawrence.
Yes, absolutely.
Sorry. That is such a huge area, you guys. It's crazy when you think about that.
Yep. New development.
Wow.
Yeah. You got it going on.
Thank you for what you do, buddy.
Thanks,
Thank you for what your father did for our community.
Yep. Thanks, Mayor.
You got it, my friend. Bet. Quick break. Back after this.
Is that?
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.